First of all, Sheikh Ali Salman has always called for peaceful protests. Secondly, he had been a member of parliament for 5 years. Thirdly, he had commanded the largest bloc ever in the so-called parliament, which of course I myself did not believe it was a parliament. I think it was a show place for the regime. Fourthly, the others who had been arrested before him, the Bahrain 13, who include Hassan Mushaima, Abdul Wahab Hussein, Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, and others, they were all calling for peaceful protests. Nothing is recorded or registered against them otherwise. Nothing is violent in their behavior or in their cause. Nabil Rajab may be sentenced in 2 days' time on the 20th on charges of ridiculous charges that he called for hatred of the regime, or he abused some sectors, some departments of the government. And then this international human rights activist may find himself behind bars for another 5-6 years just because he criticized the justice ministry or whatever. I mean, we are living under a regime which is one of the most repressive, reactionary, backward, antiquated regime in the world. Until when can the United States tolerate a regime that is ruled by a clan, by a tribe? I don't know, where does the United States get its impression, or the UK for that purpose, that this regime is either reforming itself or can be reformed without giving power back to the people to choose their own government and their own system? So I think Sheikh Ali Salman's arrest and the message behind it is that we do not care. Because why? Because Washington and London are supporting us, and Riyadh is sending its troops to us. Let me just say this final comment here. This regime is now, at this moment of time, supported militarily by six countries. We have the Saudi forces, we have the United Arab Emirates forces, we have Jordanian forces, we have Pakistani forces, 30,000 of them, and then we have the U.S. Fifth Fleet base in Bahrain, and now they are building the British naval base. Now, a regime that needs six big countries to support it, does it work? Is it worth supporting?
Okay.
It means that the minute you get away, it will fall on its own. So it is a useless, hopeless regime that must go.
What about that, Mr. Over? Our guest in London said that it is an extremely repressive and reactionary regime, clan-ruled. And we see this type of support coming from the United States, not only for Bahrain, but for other countries like Saudi Arabia, also very repressive regime. Is it not that Washington then gives off mixed signals? On the one hand, it says it stands for democracy and the right for people to take their future in their own hands in their countries, and yet basically supporting these type of repressive regimes.
You know, as I said, it's a very difficult position to seek democracy is the way that would be preferable, I think, for all, for Sheikh Ali Saddam to be jailed for his approach, his attempt at peaceful change is a scandal. The regime has thrown out an American who brought action. Tom Alinsky, the Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights, was removed by the regime, if I might just. He was ordered to leave Bahrain. The expulsion is said to have strained relations. So this is not such a cut and dried standing before a regime that is oppressive. And certainly Liz Sombo, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, has called for the release of Sheikh Ali Saddam as well.
What about that, Dr. Shahabi? Do you think that relations between Washington...
All of these things stand to...
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Dover. You want to finish your sentence? Go ahead. There's a delay.
No, it's all right. I was just to say that all of these things indicate that there is significant change in the air, and that there needs to be a much wider political presence for the opposition.
Dr. Shahabi, I was asking, do you agree that the relations between Manama and Washington, the relations are strained right now?
Well, I do not know, because it seems to me that when Tom Malinowski was removed, as my colleague just said, I thought Washington would have taken a stronger stand. They sent him back again, but we did not know what he told the Bahrainis and what the Bahrainis told him. Now, three and a half years ago, I was heartened when I heard Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, saying that the United States had long considered security as of paramount, and it compromised democracy for the sake of security. She said that now we realize that neither had been achieved. We didn't have security and we didn't have democracy. So now, after the Arab Spring, the United States has decided or should adopt the policy of securing democracy, defending democracy, and democracy would eventually lead to stability. I think she was right in saying that. Unfortunately, the successive stance and policies do not conform to what she said. The United States now simply is silent about what one of its important allies, of special allies, special treaty, they call it special ally or special friendship with Bahrain. Mm-hmm. It's doing everything possible to delegitimize any support, any Western support to the regime. Yet Washington is not doing what it should do. It's not voicing its condemnation of the arrest of Sheikh Ali Salman or the 3,500 prisoners, who the vast majority of whom have been detained simply because they had expressed their opinion freely. Freedom of expression does not exist.
Okay.
Freedom of assembly does not exist in Bahrain today.
What about that? Let me turn to New York. What about that, Ms. Dover? It appears that there are many mixed signals given in this region by the United States and its allies. We've seen time and time again. When it's a situation that appears to be perhaps in Washington interest, they may support the people. When it appears from Washington's perspective that it may not be in their interest, then mum is the word as far as democratic movements. We look at Bahrain, for example. We can look at what happened, the complex situation that happened in Egypt and so many places. On the one hand, when the people, or Ukraine, for example, for that matter, if it appears to be in their interest, then they will get out and say it's a people's movement and we must stand for democracy. And if Washington takes a perspective that they're not going to support these people, it appears that it doesn't matter how many are killed, how many are injured, and how many are imprisoned. But basically, they're looking in the another direction, like what is happening regarding Bahrain.
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair statement. I think that the timing of this crisis, in conjunction with so many other crises in the world at the moment, is terrible for the people of Bahrain. I think the facts of what is going on the ground in Europe, in the Ukraine, as you mentioned, in France this week, at the point of a new Congress finding its way in the United States, is a terrible timing with regard to the ability of the United States to respond as quickly as perhaps it should to the arrest and incarceration of Sheikh Ali Saddam. It's not an excuse, but it is one of multiple facts that is
okay.
Part of this whole equation.
All right, we're just about out of time. 30 seconds, Dr. Shahabi, 30 seconds, sir,
to
answer.
Is this,
I'm sorry, Ms. Dover. 30 seconds, Dr. Shahabi, your take on what is happening. Is it just that so many other things are happening in the world and perhaps London and Washington cannot get to the situation of what's on the ground in Bahrain, or is there something else behind it all?
I believe that both Washington and London are missing the point. The point is that if you support dictators, you get Al-Qaeda and you get the Islamic State or the Daesh, this IS or ISIS. If you do not support the transformation into democracy, we will end up with more extremism, more terrorism, and the West eventually will pay the price because of its lack of vision to support and to promote democracy in the Middle East. And to support the people in determining their own fate and remove and allow the removal of this dictatorship
okay.
from the Middle East.
All right, so sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. Maxine Dover, New York-based reporter, and out of London, Dr. Saeed Shahabi, Bahrain Freedom Movement. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you tuning in to us right here on The Debate. Make sure you join us same place tomorrow for another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out. Goodbye.